You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. The 14th apostolic journey abroad of Pope Francis is to Armenia, a nation which borders with to the west Turkey, to the east Azerbaijan, to the north Georgia, and to the south Iran. This visit to the first country ever to adopt Christianity as a state religion begins in the nation's capital, Yerevan, and sports a logo which highlights this historic factor along with the dates of the journey, which are the 24th to the 26th of June. It's a circular logo divided in half by two colours, yellow for the Vatican and purple for the Armenian city of Echmiadzin, seat of the Armenian Apostolic Church, where Pope Francis will be staying. Within the design, one can spy the outlines of two significant places in Armenia, Mount Ararat, with its biblical connotations, and the monastery of Khor Virap, which Pope Francis will also visit, where Gregory the Illuminator, credited for the conversion of this nation to Christianity in 301, so at the beginning of the 4th century, was once held a prisoner at the bottom of a well. As we know, Pope Francis travels to Armenia in the footsteps of John Paul II, who came here in 2001. But there are earlier popes connected in a special way to this nation, to be precise, to its darkest chapter. To begin with, Benedict XV, elected to the See of Peter in 1914, so Roman pontiff at the time of the Great War. And as historian Professor John Pollard in his book Benedict XV and the Pursuit of Peace writes,
the Vatican's relations with the Ottoman government in Istanbul had not been good for a long time, but they deteriorated further during the course of the war due to the Turks' treatment of Christian populations in their empire, and most particularly the massacre of the Armenians, who were considered disloyal. In April or May 1915, a campaign of what would now be called ethnic cleansing was launched against the Christian, mainly Armenian population of Anatolia. In July, the apostolic delegate in Constantinople, Monsignor Dolci, was instructed to protest against the massacre. The governments of Germany and Austria-Hungary were also asked to bring pressure to bear on their ally to stop the killings, and Benedict himself sent an autograph letter on the 10th of September to the Sultan, who in his role as Caliph of Islam was, like the Pope, a worldwide religious leader. By the end of the war, it was estimated that over 1 million Armenians had died, either killed outright by the Turks or as a result of maltreatment by starvation.
For the record, on March 12, 1918, Pope Benedict XV sent a second letter to Sultan Mohammed V Rashad. But while his diplomatic endeavours may have fallen on deaf ears, his humanitarian efforts in assisting Armenian refugees did not, it seems. According to the Jesuit magazine La Civiltà Cattolica, at the time the Holy See, quote, mobilised a continual flow of financial aid and supplies in an era when there were no other international humanitarian organisations beyond the Red Cross and the Near East Relief. And then in later years, another Roman pontiff, Pius XI, opened the doors of his summer residence, the Apostolic Palace of Castel Gandolfo, to young orphaned refugees from Armenia. Proof of this is that on Saturday 25th of June, when Pope Francis pays tribute to the fallen at the Zizev Naga Pert Memorial Complex, dedicated to the memory of the massacres of the Armenian population under the Ottoman Empire, he'll be meeting with 10 descendants of these same Armenian refugees. In the very place Armenians travel to in great numbers each year. As Father John Barker, who heads the tiny Anglican community in Armenia, tells Philippa Hitchin.
Every year that I've been here, when we have the Genocide Memorial Day, you know, literally millions of people go to the Genocide Memorial, each with a flower or a bunch of flowers, and we end up with a wall of flowers that is, you know, 2-3 meters high and 2 meters wide in a circle all around the eternal flame. And that confirms that it's part of the national consciousness.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.